It is good to see you here tonight. I appreciate y'all coming out for our Bible study, and it's always good to be back up here. And we got a special treat in store tonight. Brother Mark Rumfellow from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, is here with us. Mark's been down in the Chattanooga, North Georgia area since about 3 weeks ago, wasn't it? No, Mark came in on Saturday, and he preached down at Cornerstone Bible Church, Grace Bible Church, on Sunday morning at our church on Sunday night. And he was there Monday and Tuesday night, and they had really good crowds and really good studies. And so he was able to work his schedule out where he was able to be here, and then he'll be flying back tomorrow. I did want to mention to any of you that are watching over the Internet, if you would like to attend the Bible conference, what started out is a bunch of people, well, a rather small group of people wanted to get together and have some fellowship one weekend in Gatlinburg. People began to find out about that, and it kind of evolved into a full-blown Bible conference. So we've got, we still have a couple of rooms left, and I'll be going up next week. So if you need a room, you can go to our website, understandingyourbible.com. There's an email link there, and you can email me and let me know, or you can call me at 423-847-0768. And I said that quick because I don't want too many people to remember it. But anyway, no, email is the best way. That way we've got something in writing. So I don't guess there's anything else. So we'll just make sure Brother Mark has plenty of time and let him come on and teach us tonight. Appreciate you being here, Mark.
Get off the cell phone.
Well, I'm just checking, you know. All right, well, it's good to be here. When I finish, I want you all to know that if you have any questions after the study, you just ask Steve. All right, just ask him. He knows it all, so, because I'm out of here tomorrow. But anyhow, all right, well, it's good to be here. Thank you for coming out. Appreciate the home being opened up and the hospitality shown. So we're going to kind of jump into this and see what we have for tonight. Let's open with a word of prayer and we'll get started. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for the opportunity we have to gather here and gather around your word. Thank you for those that are here. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and gave himself for us that we might have eternal life through him. Thank you for this time to gather so that your word could be preached. I pray that you grant me the ability to convey your word to those here and those watching, that all could see the truth therein clearly and be built up and edified. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to run through quite a bit, and I apologize for that, I guess, in advance if you get a little confused. Like I said, Steve is here, and he's just a cornucopia of information. Yes.
Never been referred to as that.
There's always a first. Anyhow, turn to Genesis 12. We're going to start in Genesis 12, and we're going to read all the way through the Bible. Yeah, about chapter 20, you'll be like, out like a light, right? That's why he went to the couch. Yeah. Genesis chapter 12, the verse that some hate to read and admit to, or they love to deny. We're going to try to understand what this is about in Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I'll show thee, and I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So here's a promise made unto Abram, and talked about his seed being a great nation, that he would bless them, make his name great, and they will be a blessing. Therefore, those Gentiles, those that bless them, he would bless. But those that cursed him, he would curse. Now, with that said, you could go through your Bibles and find a long line, a long list of Gentiles that blessed Israel and saw the end result of them blessing Israel, hence they were blessed by God. You also see a line of Gentiles that cursed Israel, the seed of Abraham, and they were cursed as the promise was made here by God to Abram. So that holds through to your Bible. Now, I did not pin down all of the examples. I will show you one. Look, actually it's going to be two, but this one in particular, Luke chapter 7. Turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Like I said, there are a number of accounts here. This is one that we're reading. In Luke 7, verse 1. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that follow him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sent. So there was a faith of the centurion whose servant was sick, nigh unto death. And he sent men, elders, to Jesus, say, you know, this guy's, centurion's servant is sick. And he's worthy of you healing him based upon verse 5. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. In other words, he did something in favor and support of the seed of Abraham. So the truth of Genesis chapter 12 that God promised to Abram was carried down here. And this is a great example of a Gentile that does something that blesses Israel. God blessed him by healing his servant. Simple, easy. Easy to understand. So, with that said, now what I'm going to do is lay a little foundation here to go forward. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 3. We'll just use the board real quick here. We'll let the X here represent Christ beginning his ministry. He was rejected, crucified, buried, and he rose up, met with the apostles, and he ascended up. After he ascended up, Peter begins preaching in Acts chapter 2. Now, in the ministry of Christ, he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. The study is not technically about this, but trust me in this, that after the cross, Peter and the apostles were preaching the same thing. They were preaching about the gospel of the coming kingdom. So I want something that's going to help this study out as we go on. Something that Peter preached in Acts chapter 3 that's going to be very important in our study as we go forward. Look what he said in Acts chapter 3 as Peter is preaching. He's telling these men of Israel that they've crucified the Lord, said your fathers crucified and killed the prophets, now you've killed the Lord. So he's laying this indictment of murder upon them. And to conclude with it, he tells them this, verse 19, repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Well, we know that the Lord has ascended up. He's not present with them. So, therefore, in Acts chapter 3, he's preaching that the Lord's going to what?
He's going to return where his presence will be there.
On his return, look what will happen. Verse 19, repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord.
So when he comes back, their sins will be blotted out at his return. Now, so Peter and that group that repented and was baptized are looking forward to the return of the Lord for both the kingdom they're going into and their sins being blotted out. Acts 3:19.
Now, what this leads into is an individual in your Bible named Cornelius. He's been unfortunately brutalized by some grace preachers. There's no other way to put it. I mean, he's been their scapegoat for false doctrine now for some time, and I make no apologies about that, because what's going around is wrong, it's incorrect, and I'm going to do my best to try to straighten this thing out tonight. All right, this starts in Acts chapter 10. Hey, it's open forum night, okay? Whatever. Acts chapter 10. We're going to see what we can do here. In Acts chapter 10, there's a description of the man, Cornelius, in verse 1. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now, guys, that's not like a musical band. That's a group. Got some young folks here. I had to explain that. Make sure we're all on the same page, right? But you see that he's an Italian there, and he's a centurion of upper rank named Cornelius. Now, look at the description of this man in verse 2. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Pretty good resume there, right? So he was a godly man. He prayed to God always and he gave much alms to the people. Well, who are the people? It's Israel. It's the seed of Abraham. That's who he gave offerings unto. So what happened there? Verse 3. Now, y'all don't run out like that, okay? Verse 3, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner. So it's Simon and Simon household there, right? So, whose house is by the seaside, he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So, go get Simon, go get Peter, is what this angel is telling him. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. So that tells you Cornelius was a very prominent, powerful man to have servants and a soldier that waited on him continually. In verse 8, and when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again unto heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feared God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, you may want to note that, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Now we're going to hold up there just a second and kind of review. You have Cornelius, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people. The angel of the Lord appeared to him, said, Get some men, send them to Joppa for a man named Simon, whose surname is Peter. So send for Peter. So Cornelius gets these men, tell them, go to Joppa and get Simon Peter. In the meantime, before they got to Peter, there was a vision that was appearing to Peter as he was in a trance there. This net was let down like a great sheet, net at the four corners, let down to the earth. And there came a voice to him saying, Rise, kill, eat, Peter. And Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common unclean, because Peter is still keeping the law that was given unto Israel. Easy to see. So then the voice speaks to him again and persuades him, Eat it, Peter. This was done three times, and then the net was taken up. In the meantime, the men arrive at Peter's home and inquires about him, and the Lord says, Go get them. I've sent them to you. So Peter brings them in, and they tell him, We're sent here by a man named Cornelius, and he's described in verse 22. He's a just man, one that feareth God, of good report among all the nation of the Jews. And he was warned of God by a holy angel to send for thee into the house and to hear words of thee. So that catches us up on the scene of what's going on. So Peter comes back with his typical Jewish response in verse 23. Then he called them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. So he had a crowd at the house at this point in time. Had all his family and a bunch of friends there, along with all his servants and centurions, soldiers rather. And in verse 25, And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up. I myself also am a man, and I hate when they do that to me. I mean, when I walk and they just fall down there and worship me, I'm like, get up. No, stay down there. This is pretty cool. No, I'm just joking. Sometimes you have to get out the book. I know what happens when you read a little bit. You start going to la-la land, right? No, you see what happened? Cornelius gets there. You see his reverence for Peter, falling down at his feet and worshiping like he's something special, like he's a pope. Yeah, like he's a pope. Anyhow, Peter said, "No, get up. I'm just a man here." In verse 27, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. The house is packed, standing room only, waiting for Peter. And he said unto them, You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I went for. I ask therefore for what intent you have sent for me. And Cornelius said, so Cornelius is going to re-explain what took place back there in verses 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Here it goes, verse 30. 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. So here we have, we're reading in Acts chapter 10. We'll let that represent, that X represent Acts 10. And we have read now from verses 1 through 33. So it gives the entire account there concerning Cornelius, what kind of man he was, as it was explained in verse 2, a devout man, one that feared God and offered alms or gave alms to the people. And so we saw then Peter. Peter then goes into a trance. The Lord lets down this great sheet, knit at four corners, with all manner of beasts, unclean beasts, and creeping things. And the Lord said, "Eat, Peter." He refused to. This took place three times. The sheet goes up. He's thinking about it. Then these men from Cornelius show up at his house and say, "We're sent by Cornelius." There's another description of Cornelius, that he's a centurion, a just man, one that feared God, a good report among all the nation of the Jews. And so they describe Cornelius. So then Cornelius, those men get Peter and bring Peter to Cornelius' house. There's a full house. The house is packed. And so consequently, Peter gets there and said, "Well, it's unlawful for me to come here. But God has shown me that I should call no man common or unclean." So then he goes in unto these people, and Cornelius tells him then what took place for Peter to come to his house. And so he explains there about his prayer and the angel appearing to him. And then in verse 33, at the end of it, they're present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Now, I want somebody in those verses, Acts chapter 10, verses, we'll redo this because that's not really how it should be. In Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 33. We've read them. I've explained them. Didn't change the wording. Just told you what took place. In Acts chapter 10, verse 1 through 33. Show me where Cornelius ever heard any mention of Jesus Christ. The name Jesus Christ was never mentioned. It's very important that you understand this. I'm not putting thoughts and words in your mouth. We didn't read it because he wasn't preached. Jesus Christ was not preached in Acts 10, 1 through 33. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 33. You don't read a word about Jesus Christ. I am emphasizing this because the next two verses are paramount. Even though Jesus Christ was not preached, and when Peter got there and saw the situation, this is what he said in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Do you realize in Acts chapter 10, verse 1, when you begin reading about Cornelius, he was already accepted by God Almighty. He was already accepted. He didn't hear any preaching about Jesus Christ. He was already accepted. Why? He that feareth him and what? Worketh righteousness is accepted with him. He never heard Jesus Christ. Now, go back and read verse 2. Acts 10, verse 2. We're going to start in verse 2. Descriptive of Cornelius, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. There is the fear in God, and there is the work in righteousness. What is work in righteousness? It's giving much alms to the people. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming unto him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. I bet he was afraid. I mean, here's this Gentile here doing what he should be doing, and an angel appears to him. I bet he was frightened to death. What is it, Lord? He said. He goes, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Our conference in Baton Rouge will be held the weekend after Memorial Day. That weekend of Memorial Weekend, the next weekend, we have our conference. And all of you there in TV land is welcome. All right. What is Memorial Day? What is it? I mean, not day. What is the day about? What is the specialty of the day? We know what July 4th is. We know what Christmas Day. What is Memorial Day? Huh?
It's to remember.
It's to remember what? You said it. The ones that fought and died. It's a day we have set aside to keep in memory those that fought and died. So we stop. We have what? Services. We have 21 gun salute. We honor flags at half staff. We take a day to recognize them, to go back in our memory about those men and women who served and gave their life. Hence, Memorial Day. Right? Look in verse 4, about midway, verse 4. Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Think about it. God had a memorial day. It has to do with a remembrance. What is God remembering?
Genesis 12:1-3.
The agreement, the promise he made to Abraham. To Abram, I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse them that curse thee. Cornelius, bless the seed of Abraham, hence God brought to remembrance the promise he made to Abraham. Come up for a memorial. So consequently, before Jesus Christ was ever preached to Cornelius, he was already accepted by God based upon this promise here. However, it says at the end of verse 33 that Peter was sent to Cornelius to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. There are some things that Cornelius needed to hear from Peter. All right, he was already accepted by God by work in righteousness, according to verse 35. Everyone in every nation that worketh righteousness, fear him, is accepted with him. So Peter continues to preach in verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. And that's the first time Cornelius heard the preaching of Jesus Christ. First time he had heard it between him and Peter. He's Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. So he's given a first-hand account. Hey, we were there. We were witnesses to all this. And in verse 42, And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Now, why did the Holy Ghost fall on them? Because what Peter was preaching concerning Jesus Christ, they believed. When they believed, the Holy Ghost fell on those in the household of Cornelius. Now, there's an interesting point of what took place here that some people, for some reason, seem to just skip right over, but we're going to reveal it tonight. It's very important. Verse 43. To him, Jesus Christ, verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive forgiveness of all sins. Is that what it says? It's remission of sins. Well, folks, remission of sins and forgiveness of sins are two different, shall we say, animals. They're two different things. They're not the same. And don't let anybody ever convince you that forgiveness of sins is remission of sins. So when Peter preached to them and they got the Holy Ghost, they also got remission of sins. He didn't say forgiveness. What is remission? It is to set something aside. These sins of these men that went on day by day, because they're sinners like anybody else, their sins would not be put to their account if they remained in the faith that was given unto them. As long as Cornelius continued to fear God and work righteousness, he fell in good stead of his sins being remitted, set it aside. So when Cornelius died, I don't know when he died, but when he died, he didn't die and go to hell. He went down into Abraham's bosom. He was blessed of God. So he didn't face condemnation. So he had the Holy Ghost. He dies. He goes down. His sins were in remission. They were not forgiven. That's very important. Very important to note that. And the people that teach that Cornelius got another message, they'll skip that, or they'll change up the word remission every time on you. You got to watch them. You have to watch them. Snakes in the grass jump real high. Huh?
We were just comparing notes.
Okay. That's good. Comparison is good. All right. Let's see what we want here.
By the way, there is a correlation there about the Memorial Day and that memorial in there, because on our Memorial Day, we eat all those things that came down on the sheet.
Yes, we do. We eat every bit of it. And when you, if y'all can make our conference, you'll see that we do that handedly. You know, we save money on our food instead of getting top cuts and top prime and all that. We get bait, and we know how to fix bait, okay?
It is, so, good.
It is good, isn't it?
Your wife is bad.
Yeah, I tell you. So, all right. Now, an interesting thing happened. This event that took place with Peter going to Cornelius was instructed, was inspired, was commanded by God. Peter didn't step out of faith. He wasn't disobedient to God. He did exactly what God told him to do by going to Cornelius. We read that, right? Okay, you with me? All right, turn to Acts chapter 15. So then, after that happened, there were some Jews that didn't care for it. I'm stepping away to get some water. You do what now?
You'll be on Fox News.
Some senator or something. Yeah.
I know, isn't that?
What was that
about
anyway?
I don't know.
That's what I wondered.
What was it about? The guy actually drank a glass of water.
Ooh.
Oh, that's spooky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Conspiracy behind that.
Yeah. All right, Acts 15. All right, we had that situation we read with Cornelius. I hope you guys are straight on that. Obviously, if there's something you need to know, raise your hand. We'll review it. I tried to go over it clearly enough so that we could see what transpired there between Cornelius and Peter going to Cornelius and what took place. Folks, it is big that you understand when the story of Cornelius starts in Acts 10 from verses 1 through 33, there's no mention of Jesus Christ, and Peter sees what Cornelius is saying, and the next two verses, 34 and 35, he basically says he's already been accepted by God without hearing Jesus Christ. But Cornelius said, God wants you to come to us so we can hear words of thee. They heard those words. They got their sins remitted and got the Holy Ghost. That didn't settle well with some Jews. So Acts 15 is this big meeting concerning that instance. Acts 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up a certain sect of the Pharisees which believed. These were not unbelieving Pharisees. These are Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of the prophets. They knew more than some grace preachers. They had it right. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, typical Bible disputing, right? Peter rose up. Now, Peter is going to take the scene, right? He's going to stand up and address the crew there. He rises up and says unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, and bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, while ye tempt God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. We're going to hold up there. We're going to revisit something. This is very important that I'm showing you. We were back in Acts chapter 3. Acts 3:19. Peter's preaching to the Jews. They killed the Lord. He was buried, but God raised him up. The Lord is at that point ascended up into heaven when Peter is preaching this. Therefore, Peter tells them, repent and be baptized. Repent. I got to read it. My mind's on 40 different things right now. I'll read it. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He's up here when he preaches, then the Lord's coming down to this earth. When he returns, what's going to happen to these sins? They'll be blotted out. Peter knows this. Peter knows that when the Lord returns, their sins are going to be blotted out. He knows this. Now, back where we were in Acts 15, if you turn, go back there. But in Acts 15, verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we got a we there. We need to find out who that we is. It's not difficult. Not difficult. Look in verse 5. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. And then verse 7, Peter stands up and he begins preaching. So I know then that you had Pharisees there that believed. There was Peter there. That's who I believe the we in verse 11 is. But we believe, verse 11, that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Uh-oh, we got trouble. We got another group there, the they. I know that's not very clear there, but it's they. So we believe that we shall be saved even as they. Well, who is the they? Well, I know who it is. It has to do with verse 7, that God made choice among us, in the middle of the verse, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And then they got the Holy Ghost. Well, I know who the they are. That's the Gentiles. What Gentiles would that be? Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Cornelius and his household. That's who Peter is talking about. So he says, we shall be saved even as they, the Gentiles. He did not say the Gentiles would be saved even as us. We're going to be saved as the Gentiles. Peter knows only one salvation. What is it? When the Lord returns and there's the presence of the Lord, their sins will be blotted out. Do you know what he's saying? We're going to be saved like they. Peter doesn't know. This is what he does not know. That Christ died for all your sins, was buried, raised again. All your sins are forgiven right now. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. You have eternal life. You've been redeemed. You are justified. You're made the righteousness of God. He has no clue to any of that. He is looking for the return of the Lord so his sins will be blotted out. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1. Give y'all just a second to get there. We shall be saved even as they. 1 Peter 1. Look in verse 8. Whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now watch this. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Well, what is the grace that should come? Well, it has to do with the salvation that is going to come. In other words, when the Lord returns, it will be salvation for Israel. He'll be their deliverer. Their sins will be blotted out. He'll remember their iniquities no more. And so Israel shall be saved. That's the new covenant that God will make with Israel. That's when he returns to this earth. That's their salvation, and Peter knew it. He was preaching it in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. That's why he was so anxious for the Lord to come back to this earth so that he could have his salvation and go into the kingdom. I mean, the first question they asked him, when he was raised up and met them and stayed with them for 40 days. First question they asked him, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Well, one of the reasons, of course, is to go into the kingdom. But the other reason is, he knew that when they go into the kingdom, their sins are blotted out. That's their salvation.
Amen.
So then, we shall be saved even as they. Peter only knew this salvation. That's it. He knew no other. He understood no other. So then, these Gentiles, Cornelius, is going to be saved like them, and they're going to be saved like them. That is, when the Lord returns, they will go into the kingdom. Look in Isaiah chapter 2.
From Isaiah 2. In Isaiah 2, look in verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. That's the kingdom time. In the top of the mountains. And shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among the nations, shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Verse 2 again at the end. He shall be exalted above the hills. All nations shall flow unto it. Turn to Zechariah, right before Matthew. Well, not right before, but I mean a couple pages before. Zechariah. Chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. Watch what Zechariah says here in verse, we'll start in verse 20. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.
Gentiles will go into that kingdom. Cornelius is no different. He was accepted of God before Peter ever even got there. That's why Peter says, well, I perceive that God's no respecter of person, but he that worketh righteousness and feareth him is accepted of him. Then he preaches to them about Jesus Christ. God wanted Cornelius because he blessed Israel based on Genesis 12, which was a memorial of God. He remembered that. God wanted Cornelius and those people to hear the preaching of Jesus Christ by Peter. And Peter preached to him about Jesus Christ, and they received both remission of sins, which is not forgiveness. They receive remission of sins and the Holy Ghost. So Peter's conclusion is, we shall be saved as they. What is a salvation? When the Lord returns, blot out iniquity, they're going to be like those nations that's going to go into the kingdom. That is very elementary. So then, why in the world would someone take Cornelius and put him into the body? I know their explanation. Well, he's not keeping the covenant of circumcision in Genesis 17. You know what a covenant is? It's like a contract. I mean, you ever sign a contract with someone? Man, I have a contract right now with a company in Baton Rouge. I sign it, my name on it, with them. There's some stipulations in there. Do any of you keep that contract? Why? Because it's not between you and the company, is it? It's between me and the company. The covenant of circumcision is between Abraham and his seed. Abraham and his seed had to keep the covenant. Cornelius was not under that covenant. He blessed Israel, so God made that provision in Genesis 12,
before the covenant of circumcision that Gentiles could be blessed if they blessed the seed of Abraham. Because he didn't make the contract with the Gentiles. So he gave them a way to take the hold of him that's a Jew, the skirt of him that is a Jew, and walk into that kingdom saying, we will go with you, we hear God's with you. And their sins will not be applied to them. Why? Because they're going into the kingdom. That we shall be saved even as they. But that isn't all. Look in Ephesians. I mean, some people just, they don't believe the Bible is what it amounts to. They want to change it up to fit their doctrine because they've labored so long in it. They have to look accepted. And they're too proudful to say, I messed up. I took a left when I should have taken a right. And I'm too proud to admit it. So stay out there and wander in your miserable life and go for it. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 6. We're going to jump right in the middle of it. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So then, this return of the Lord should have returned years ago. It didn't happen. Israel didn't repent. They rejected the apostles. They began killing the apostles. So God then put a time frame in here. He had a what's called a dispensation of grace. It was given to the Apostle Paul. And in this time frame, God is forming a body. It's a body of Christ. As opposed to a kingdom. This is a body. These are part of a kingdom on this earth. Will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That didn't happen because they rejected the Lord. So God had an alternative program. And guess what his alternative program was leading up to? It was leading up to those in Genesis 12 that cursed Israel and they had no hope. Peter would not have been encouraged by God, instructed by God, to go to those that cursed Israel. By the way, you can go through your Bible and you can find those nations that cursed Israel and what God did to them. So, during the body of Christ, the gospel that Paul got, it's the gospel of Christ, the gospel that Paul got. Look what he says again in verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. What is that? Christ died for your sins. He was buried and raised again the third day. And folks, that is the simplicity of the gospel. If anybody gets saved today, they're going to get saved by this gospel, not what Peter preached to Cornelius. It can do you no good. And by the way, nobody out there is preaching Peter's gospel. They're not preaching Peter's gospel. The only gospel that God sanctifies today to be preached is a gospel that was given to Paul. It's called the gospel of Christ. And as Christ died for all your sins, he was buried and raised again the third day. You know what the beauty of this gospel is? When you trust in Jesus Christ, all of your sins have been forgiven. Amen. The moment you trust in Christ, all of your sins have been forgiven. Is that what Peter said in Acts 3:19? No. He's waiting for what? The return of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. Then their sins get blotted out. It's two different programs. So then the Gentiles in Ephesians 3:6
is not these type Gentiles, because they blessed Israel and was accepted by God. It's these Gentiles that cursed Israel. It's a program God had in mystery form, that His goal was that He would raise up Paul and send him to get this gospel to these Gentiles that cursed Israel. And you can't go in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and find where God instructed a prophet back here and said, I'm going to send a gospel to these Gentiles. It's not in there. It's not in there. You can dig and find things pertaining to Gentiles as promises, but it's these that blessed Israel. Turn to Titus. Titus chapter 3. In Titus 3, verse 4. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. That isn't what Peter observed with Cornelius. Verse 34 and 35, for I perceive that God's no respecter of person, but he that feareth Him and what? Worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. Paul's message here for the body is not by works of righteousness. You can't compromise those two things. You can't interlock them. They don't dovetail. They're two separates. Things that are separate are not the same. Therefore, Cornelius had a hope by blessing Israel. Us Gentiles had no hope. We were strangers from any covenants of promise. You remember Zechariah? Zechariah said, there'll be 10 men out of different nations. They're going to grab the skirt of one that is called a Jew and hang on to him and walk into Jerusalem, for we hear God is with you. Does that sound like a Gentile blessing Israel? Going, we're going to go with you, buddy. No. The ones that cursed hated them and made war with them. The perfect example in your Bible of one that cursed, besides Paul, a Gentile, though, is Goliath. He hated their God, and he said, we'll take care of you, we'll kill you. Well, God isn't going to bless him. Under this, what did he do? Put a curse on him. So what happened? He lost his head for his cause. David jumped on top of him, drew that sword, and went, shook! Picked him up by the hair. Can you imagine this kid? What was David? Stephen? When he killed Goliath? About 16, 17? Young kid, right? You see this kid coming back to the camp. He's got this giant's head in his hand. Hey, I got him, everybody! Take me out for a shake. I want a Happy Meal. You see that? Well, what happened? Hey, if God was going to bless Goliath, that wouldn't have happened. It was the curse that fell upon him. That didn't happen with Cornelius because he blessed them. But Paul has a gospel that went out to Gentiles. It's not by works of righteousness. It's not by blessing them. He brought it out to those that cursed, as in this world today. And the good news is that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and raised again. And folks, when you put your trust in Him, all of your sins are forgiven right here, right now. We're not waiting for them to be blotted out later. And by the way, little tidbit of information. When we trust in Him, the Spirit of God comes into us and seals us until the Lord takes us out of this world. That's it. I'm done.